Thank you, Miss Lisa. Thank you, congregation. Brother Chris, if you have your Bibles, turn with me today to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. As we think about this question here on eternal rewards in Luke chapter 6, what if small choices that we make, and we know they do, but I just wanted you to think with me on this question, the small choices affect or change what happens or is instrumental in eternity for us. We know God is a giving God, and so He wants to give us things, and He wants us to be faithful. And those that are faithful, and I feel like this church is that I've pastored over the years is as faithful as any, and I appreciate that tremendously. And so I want this kind of to be an encouragement today as well to you to keep pressing on, to keep moving forward, keep doing what you're doing, keep encouraging others and not letting yourself get too down on the world and things around us. Luke chapter 6. I'm going to ask you, if you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read a few verses out of Luke chapter 6. Beginning in verse 12. God's word says, in those days, these days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12 whom he named apostles. Simon, he named Peter, Andrew, his brother, and James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon who was also called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowds sought to touch him, for power came out from him, and he healed them. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man." And verse 23 is our main verse today. "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets." Lord, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. We know that no one astonished the crowd as the Lord Jesus. No one had that ability. No one gave shocking comments in first century Israel like the Lord Jesus. No one. The audiences were dumbfounded, amazed, outraged at some of the things Jesus was saying. And these verses here are even astonishing to me, especially with what we read, and then at the end of that, what Jesus says in verse 23. Some amazing words. "Rejoice in that day when you're hated, when you're persecuted, when you're reviled, when you're all mocked, when all of these things that you will face because you're trying to serve the one God who saved you. You're trying to live for Him, whether it's pain, whether it's anguish, depression, anxiety, whatever it may be, all of that you're dealing with, but you're trying to serve Him." Jesus says, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven." Those words are amazing to me. It reveals why you and I can rejoice even in our darkest moments, even when things go awry. Just this week, in the FedEx family, you could say, 34-year-old senior manager, top manager in Mobile, at FedEx Ground. Didn't make it through the night. Had a wife and kids, 34 years old. We just don't know, do we? The worst of times, you and I can push through them. We can look forward. We can look ahead. As John Maxwell says, we can, even with our struggles, we can fall forward, failing forward. And so there's a direct connection between something we do for Him on this earth and something He does for us in heaven. Notice that Jesus says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Personally, your reward is going to be great. He's going to take care of us. He's going to reward us. Not only are we going to be able to walk the streets of gold and see the pearly gates and see Moses and Abraham and Adam and whomever else, but He's going to reward us. And so God wants to transform you and I. And He wants us to think ahead and to not build our barns up down here on this earth too much, but store up heavenly treasures. Matthew chapter 16 says this about Matthew chapter 16. Jesus is saying, it tells us, for the Son of Man is going to come with His angels in the glory of His Father, and then He will repay each person according to what He's done. We know many in our world, even people that call themselves Christians, seem to just live as if it's not important. They don't care about obedience. They don't care about reading and learning God's Word. They don't care about fellowshipping with other believers or assembling together, any of that. But Jesus says He's going to repay each person according to what He's done. Matthew chapter 19, pretty much the same thing. Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go and sell to the rich young ruler and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Give up some of your, Jesus said, give up some of your treasure here, and you're going to have treasure in heaven. We know the rich young ruler walked away from that, didn't like that deal, and so he walked away in eternity forever and ever in a devil's hell. Luke chapter 14 is another verse. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. I think this verse applies to this church a good bit. We do take care of those who are less fortunate around us and who have needs around us. So I thank you so much for being a Luke 14:14 church that looks out for people that can't repay you. Much of the people that come in that you give clothing to or food or whatever can't give back. And so that speaks volumes, and I believe it does. We know it does to the Lord Jesus. He wouldn't have put this verse together for us if it didn't. But dear brothers and sisters, God is keeping track of everything we say and do and don't do. And so let's be clear on a couple of words that sometimes gets confusing, I would say, in our churches. The word believe, it involves repentance. Someone has to repent to truly believe. It unlocks a door to eternity. To believe. It's not just we believe because we believe that George Washington, we didn't live during that time, but we believe that he was the first president. No, or any of that. It's much, much greater than that. It involves repentance. It involves contrition, where God breaks our heart and we say, yes, repentance. Repentance and faith. When you believe on the Lord Jesus, you've immediately determined where you want to spend eternity. Where do I want to spend eternity? That's why a lot of people, that say they love God and there's no action there, maybe they have not truly repented. They didn't truly determine, this is where I want to spend eternity. They just had a little prayer because someone else did, or they were sorry for something that had gone wrong. To truly believe is you and I repenting and determining where. But there's another key word, I think, in this life that we should think about more, and is behave. So there is a believe and there is behave. And so how you and I behave, obviously, if you and I truly believe, we'll want to behave. And it determines how, you could say. It would not be completely just for someone like that maybe repented on death's door, but had a chance to. Maybe they just rejected and rejected and rejected. And all of a sudden on their deathbed, they, at the age of 50 or whatever, maybe they were a preacher's child, and they, at the age of 50, they'd passed away and gave their life to the Lord. It wouldn't be completely fair for them to get the rewards of someone like Billy Graham or Watchman Nee or Jonathan Livingston or some of the great missionaries, Annie Armstrong, Lottie Moon, Margaret Mallory, some of those. The harvest we produce directly impacts our eternity. That's why it's important that we, as best we can, remain faithful. So let me give you a few truths today. Number one, if we focus too much on rewards down here, we're going to be disappointed. We're going to be greatly disappointed. If we put too much on God, give it to me now. The prosperity gospel, which is being lambasted everywhere through charismatic, circles, the television, so-called Christian television. There's some good stuff on there, but be careful of the prosperity gospel. If they really, really, really believe the prosperity gospel, where you can send 100 in and get a 100-fold increase, why don't they send 100 in and get a 100-fold increase, If they really believe that, why don't they send 1,000,000 in to get 1,000,000 increase? Because I don't know if they believe it or not, but if you and I know, if you hang your hat too much down here on this earth, you're going to be disappointed. The Greek word Jesus uses in Luke chapter 6 when he says blessed, and you've heard this before through your Sunday school messages, is happy. The word happy. Happy are the poor. Happy are the hungry. Happy are the weeping. Happy are the hated. The ones who are excluded and so on. And you and I know, personally, physically, is nothing happy about dealing with all of that. No one wants to be poor or hungry or lambasted or hated or to mourn or trash talked. But Jesus says, your rewards are going to be great in heaven. Don't get caught up down here. When we get caught up too much down here, we get discouraged. We get our mind off of proper theology, perhaps, and we're going to miss what God wants for us. He wants to shower blessings on us, but we've got to look down the road for that sometimes. And so that leads me to my second point, focusing on rewards here. It's going to leave us wanting to give up. And many do. We even probably have family members that used to be faithful, or friends that used to be diligent, used to be devoted, at least for a certain period of time. And now, for whatever reason, whether they got some bad theology or they just wasn't faithful in reading or letting God speak to them, and they got out of God's will, they got off track a little bit, and then they started wanting to give up. Maybe they went to college and they learned some things that they, that wasn't what mom and dad or grandma and grandpa taught them about good, honest living for God. And they got off track and now they just have given up or want to give up. We all want to give up at times. It's human nature. I hear people say that at times. I just want to give up. My life's a mess. I believe those that Jesus was talking about on this day, there were people in the crowd, because you and I know when the Lord Jesus spoke, he wasn't just speaking in a generic fashion, just throwing words out there. No, he was pinpointing. He was using a rifle approach, not just a shotgun approach. Obviously, sometimes he did, but I believe many, oftentimes, maybe every time, there was someone in the crowd that specifically, it went straight to their heart. They were wanting to give up. And Jesus said this: blessed are the poor. They were poor, perhaps. They were hungry. They were weeping. They were hated. They were excluded. They were ready to give up. And Jesus said, don't give up. Don't do it. Don't do it. Be strong. Hang in there. Keep fighting. Because if you do that, your rewards will be great for eternity in heaven. The apostles did that, didn't they? They may not have started well, but they finished well. All but one was martyred because they focused on obedience and what God wanted for them. They love God. We don't just serve God because of rewards. We serve Him because we love Him. We don't just honor our parents because they're our parents. We honor them because we love them. And we do the same thing for Jesus. And that brings me to my third point, focusing on rewards here. If we're not careful, we'll hinder what God wants to do in our life. It'll slow that job down. It'll stall that job. It'll even get us off course where we won't even do what we're supposed to do. If we think that God, I'm reading, I'm praying, I'm witnessing, I'm tithing, lavish me, God, pour it on me, and it don't happen, you still have to go to the hospital, you still have to go to the funeral home, you still have to deal with stress, broken families, all everything else that the world has to deal with. It's going to hinder our work, even as a church, if we put too much on rewards down here. Many people, you know, will go to work and work like a slave for their jobs, or have. But God wants us to work as best we can, as hard as we can, and as smart as we can, obviously, for the kingdom. You know, it's very, very significant. Let me just go to my fourth point real quick, if you don't mind. And I want you to, this is really where I want to hang out for just a second. If focusing too much on rewards down here are detrimental, but focusing on rewards up there is going to cause joy. And that brings me back to verse 23, what he says. Look at it with me again, where Jesus says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. In other words, and we're all guilty of it. That's why we need Jesus to get it through the day. And we need the Holy Spirit within us to help us, correct us, convict us when we get off track. But how do we behave in every situation is significant, is important, that we don't get bent out of shape all the time or more than not, that we don't over-respond and react to people even when it may be justified, because God is looking at every situation. Every situation matters greatly to God. If people were to curse us or lambast us or leave us out of their plans or they talk about us, Verse 23 tells us what to do. To just think about what's going to happen in the future. Just rejoice. Jump for joy, it says. As long as we didn't do something to bring it on ourselves, we can just trust what God's promises say. We can trust that the Son of Man is going to take care of us. We could even, we Baptists don't leap for joy very often, do we? And as I get older, I don't feel like leaping for joy, amen, very often. Sometimes I'll leap down off the dock. It's an infraction to leap down real far off the dock. But if I just leap down just a little bit, and I'll go, man, that hurt my ankle. I shouldn't have done that, And so we Baptists, again, can become, this is kind of Baptist-costal, isn't it? Maybe we do need a little more exuberance sometimes in our ministry. And I think that's what Jesus gives us here, that we can leap, rejoice, and leap for joy. So I pray that as you keep serving God, as you stay faithful, as you stay devoted, as you struggle, as you deal with all the things that you're dealing with, that you just keep your eyes on the prize. You keep your eyes, that Jesus says, if you serve Him, regardless if it's your health failing, if it's your relationships, if your finances, whatever it may be, if you'll keep your eyes on Him, you can hang your hat that Jesus is going to take care of you, not down here on this earth totally, but in eternity, which is not 70 years or 90 years or 100 years, but forever and ever. Let's pray. Lord, again, thank you for your precious word, Lord. Thank you for these beautiful people, Lord, and their faithfulness to obey you, Lord, at all cost. May we remain diligent in times as they become more and more troubling in our world, in our society, and even in our families. May we remain faithful. May we be that lighthouse, that stability that our neighbors, that our children and grandchildren, that those that are our employees, whomever they may be, Lord, can look to us as someone who is faithful to you, and they'll have someone to want to emulate. May, Lord, we repent of things in our life when we have just gotten off track and stayed off track. Lord, if there's one today that's kind of gotten off track and just, they know deep down within they need to get back on. They've allowed this world to influence their mind too much, politics or whatever it may be. May they just repent of that right now and just ask you to refresh them and renew them back to your beautiful spirit. And Lord, we love you again, and we praise you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.